Let's turn in God's Word to Ecclesiastes and chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And we'll read verses 1 through 10. That's the whole chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verses 1 through 10. And let's pray to the Lord. Father, again, we give you praise. We ask that you would help us now to hear your word, to be diligent, to remember that it is your word, to abide by it. You'd send your spirit to illumine our hearts and our minds, and the sin and the hardness of our hearts, that we would be trained in the ways of you and put off the ways of the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 1. These are God's words. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Those are God's words. Solomon has given us a chapter on folly. That was chapter 10. We've seen the many vanities. It's been demonstrated by wisdom, blessing will come. And by everything else, vanity and folly, destruction comes. And so put on wisdom. That's the message. Look above the sun, as Solomon has directed our attention. Look above the sun to Jesus Christ, the Lord. We've seen in the last chapter, as he talked about folly, some ways to, in our being directed to our superiors, those who are above us in authority or older than us, in the government, whatever it is. So now he goes to our inferiors. To our inferiors, those who are younger than us, those who are weaker than us or under our authority. And here, especially those who are in need. What does wisdom call for us to do? What does the Lord Jesus Christ command of us? The first point this evening is very clear. Give to those in need. Give to those in need. Verse 1, it says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Cast your bread upon the waters. Solomon points to the farmer. The one who sows, the one who plants seeds. Some of you are beginning to do that this spring in your gardens. He says, like casting your seed upon the ground. to produce fruit. Cast your seed freely over the ground. But he says here, not cast your seed, he says cast your bread. He's speaking of that lowest common denominator, the lowest common food. That for which in all nature can sustain people and provision. Bread. Bread in Scripture, the necessary support of life. It's often shown as that, even that which we partake of in the Lord's Supper, so that we are feeding. Everybody can feed if they're in Christ. Everybody can feed upon Christ by faith. You see here he's speaking about meeting the needs of the poor. He says, cast thy bread upon the waters. Isaiah 32 says, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, upon the good ground, the well-watered, fruitful land. Isaiah 23, it speaks of the harvest of the river. And often in God's Word, waters refer to the multitudes. Like in Revelation 16, it says, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. In that context, in this case, is the wrath upon the multitudes, upon the waters. Upon the multitudes is His wrath of the wicked. The multitudes of the wicked receiving His wrath. Cast thy bread upon the multitudes. And why would we just randomly cast our bread upon all peoples? That doesn't really make that much sense. If they needed it, beloved, that's the meaning. That's the sense. We cast it upon all who have need. And that's why we know He's speaking of here of giving to the poor. Proverbs 19. It says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he repay him again. And so giving to the poor, the Lord says, is lending to the Lord. Lending to the Lord, and the Lord will repay. And that's what verse 1 goes to. Verse 1 says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. You will receive it back again. You will find it after many days. It's the same thing that he said in Proverbs 19. The same man, Solomon. And so giving to the poor. The seed that you sow, beloved, when you plant it, sometimes it seems to die. It just sits there, it does nothing. It sits there, nothing happens. Seems to die. But the wise farmer has patience. And at last reaps a fruitful harvest. That's what we're being called to here. It often seems when giving to the poor, those in need, we're just throwing our money away. Or whatever we're giving them, we're just throwing it away. It's not really going to anything good. It's not going to be beneficial for me. Like it goes to die. But the Lord promises He will bring a fruitful harvest. He will repay it again. You will find it after many days. What does Jesus say? Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Ye took me in naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, departed for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they say also, answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered or athirst or a stranger, naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The righteous give to those who have need. It's not always giving money. It's helping, it's serving. All that bread you've worked for, you know it is for yourself. Take it in, you put it in your bank account. The things you grow in your garden, you take that in and you use it. And here the command is, let the poor have a share with you. May all you have, use it to seed the ground near the waters, on the fertile ground. Numbers 24, it says, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of ling aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedars beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. And his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Notice he says here what? Thy bread, in our verse, thy bread, cast thy bread. That's you singular. Cast thy bread, your bread. Not someone else's bread, not the church's bread. Your bread. You see someone in need, give out what you have, Christian. According to the condition in which the Lord has blessed you with, give. 2 Corinthians 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's the same thing he's saying here. The Lord will bless and reward you. And it goes to our witness too, our testifying of the good news. Psalm 112, it says, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. That goes to our witness. When we give and help the needy, what happens? The wicked see that and they get upset. It goes to our witness. Because the wicked are always at enmity with God's people. They're always hostile. That's Genesis 3. We're to give to those in need. Who has need? Especially in the church, Galatians 6. Who has need? And who has need even in the world, that we might witness to them the truth of the gospel as we give and help them? We learn more in verse 2. It says, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Give a portion. You supply the guests at a feast you have. You have a great gathering at your home or something like that. You have a feast, and also then send provisions of what you have there to the poor. If you know someone in need, take some of that which you just made a feast for and give to those who have need. Give a portion. Esther chapter 9, verse 22, it talks about this. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the mouth which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. Nehemiah 8, same thing, upon reading the law of God. And so they read the word of God. They renew that reading of God's word that they had not done for a long time. And it says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. There you have it. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. The law. give a portion, beloved. To how many people in need? It says give a portion to 7 and also to 8. Give a portion, and many of you who are older, you already know it's not a definite number. So how many times do I have to forgive? You keep forgiving. Same thing here. It's not a definite number. Whoever has need. It's not like you're necessarily going out looking for those who have need. But when people come, or you come in contact with people who have need, help them. Meet their need if you can. Meet them in some way. Meet their need. Give a portion. A large and cheerful heart to freely give to all needful persons according to our abilities. Does this mean we give everything? Or that we give so much that we are hindered, and by it, by our hindrance, we start breaking God's commandments because we're giving so much? No, of course it does not. Now, most of us are not in danger of that. We are too lustful after our estates and our properties, and that's why we make that objection. Does that mean we have to give everything? And I think most of you are wise enough to know. No, we don't give everything. He says, do good unto all men, though. And there is wisdom you'll need in your giving. As we learn in other parts of Scripture, giving a portion to those in need. There are a lot of people who just want a free handout, who will use what you supply to their own destruction. And there's wisdom in how you can help people without it leading to their destruction. A person may need it. It may be necessary for them even when they do not deserve it. And oftentimes we can come up with great excuses why someone does not deserve it who is in need. But there's many things that you've received, you being needy yourselves, and you didn't deserve salvation of the greatest of them. And God gave to you who is needy out of His mercy and grace. Luke 6 says, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. You're not going to keep asking them. You're not going to ask them to repay. God will repay you. You're lending to the Lord. He will repay you. And it's His to begin with anyway. Speaking of ladies this morning, Proverbs 31, we talked about that. We made mention of a few verses there. It says also there, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And here in verse 2, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Beloved, embrace the opportunity you have now for doing good. In the future, you, because of various evils, you may not have what you have now. You may be deprived of doing good like this. You don't know what the future holds. James 4 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. If you wait, you will probably die waiting. I'm going to wait until I have a little bit more, and then I'll start helping the poor or those who are in need. If you keep doing that, and you will keep doing that, and waiting and procrastinating in that, you will die waiting. You will leave your wealth to those who will never help the poor. And if they would give to the poor liberally, as we are called to give, their doing good is not your doing good, as the Lord commands. You are the steward of your estate, your property now. But you are no longer the owner of your property once you breathe that last breath. And so He's calling us, cast thy bread upon the waters, to give to the needy. Now verses 3 through 6 give two answers to our objections. You don't see the objections here, but they answer our objections. The first is in verse 3. It says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Some might object, oh, I need to look after my family and my things, my duty first to myself, my supplies, and so others who have more can give. Others who have more can give, they can act and supply the need in this case. Because I have to look over after my family and my things. And the Lord, through Solomon, responds, the clouds full of moisture do not keep that moisture to themselves, but shower the earth upon the fields, even the thorn bushes, for the benefit of all those who have need. So should the rich. And I'd remind you, as I look around the room here, all of us should be considered as rich. Should we only look to ourselves, we would find that the Lord has blessed us beyond all that we need. And then should we only then say to ourselves that we're going to keep all this blessing that the Lord has given to us, why not give to others, to even open up opportunities for the gospel? That's why this is part of seeking first the kingdom of God and casting our bread before those who are in need, giving to those who have need, so that it opens up opportunities even more so, softening the heart of the gospel going forth. And that's why he can say, and we can sing together with Jesus in Psalm 72, that he's going to help the poor. He's going to save the poor. It's through us as instruments, as we give to them. So should we look only to ourselves and confine the Lord's blessing to ourselves? No, we are to pour them forth to the poor and needy and destitute, as lending to the Lord, Proverbs says, as lending to the Lord, and He will repay us. Well, if I help, verse 2, if I help 7 or 8, it's likely that much of the bounty I have, all the things that I have, will be cast away upon the unworthy or the ungrateful. And they won't turn it for the glory of God. They won't use it for the glory of God. They won't use it for seeking first the kingdom of God. Or they won't, when they prosper, having been benefited from my giving, and when they start to prosper, they will not help others themselves. Beloved, it should be indifferent to you whether the tree falls north or south. The Lord says here through Solomon, the fact is, the tree falls. And your tree falls. It is to your benefit no matter where it falls, but it is to your benefit that it falls, that you give to the needy. And so either way, good is coming to you, the giver. That should be your incentive. Either way, whether you give to someone who will use it and use it wrongly or unwisely or won't repay to the Lord and give glory to Him, no matter what they do with it, God will bless you. You do what you're commanded to do. That's what he's saying here. Give to those in need. Wherever you give from the Lord's blessing of you to others, where you shower mercy upon the poor, you will be shown mercy yourselves. If you forgive not others, he will not forgive you. And here he's kind of saying the same thing about giving. If you don't give, I'm not going to give to you. I'm not going to bless you. I'm not going to show mercy upon you. If you won't even show mercy upon others when I've already shown mercy to you. It may be objected further. This is not a good time. This is not a good time to be helping the needy. There are many hindrances and things that discourage me from giving to the needy at this time. If this giving is charged to my account, to my loss, to my affliction, to my danger, even to my expense, that weighs heavy upon me when I've worked so hard for these things. Right now, I'm secure. And if I can just secure myself a little bit more, that will be a better time for me to give. And Solomon answers, verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. If the farmer is constantly looking at the wind, he's constantly looking at the forecast, he will never plant and sow his seed. And there will be no harvest. Any farmer can really tell you that some struggle with this more than others. If you don't give, you will not receive God's blessing. Embrace the present opportunity to give to the needy, beloved, and leave it in the hands of the Lord. He says here, remind us in other places as we've read them, He will provide for you. Verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. We don't know the soul of the one being formed in the womb or the growth of their bones of that child. Even if everything today we know is healthy, we still don't know how that child will appear to us when they come out of the womb. We don't know the works of God's providence is what he's saying here beforehand. We don't know. And so he's saying, embrace every present now opportunity for doing good and do not delay or defer your duty. If we don't know the wind, we don't know the soul, or how the bones grow, the much less are we able to foresee the Lord's works of providence, which are infinitely beyond us. We might be destroyed, our riches may be turned to poverty in a moment, we don't know. And so since we are ignorant of such things in the future, then we ought not to put off our duty of giving to the needy when we're able to help, but rather embrace the present season. Again, we're reminded, as I may have mentioned earlier, Galatians 6:10, which says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so the conclusion of this answer, verses 4 through 6, verse 6, it says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Sow your seed. Scatter your charity in the morning, in the evening, all the time. When you see someone in need, do not withhold your hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. We must expect to be blessed by the Lord. We must expect to be blessed by the Lord. So put yourself in, as we say when we talk about keeping the Sabbath day, keeping the Lord's day, coming to worship. Put yourself in the way of blessing. You'll be blessed on the Lord's day if you come to morning and evening worship every Lord's day. It's the same thing here. You can expect to be blessed by the Lord. So put yourself in the way of blessing by giving to those who have need. It may not always appear prosperous. Those who you help, it may turn out that they abuse it. They may even return evil for good. And the Lord says, be constant in well-doing, and you will not lose a divine reward. Matthew 10, he says, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And that, of course, is a blessing. Another reason we work, beloved. Why do we work? Why do we work and work and work as we toil? Ephesians 4:28, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's why we work. There's a reason why we work. It's not only to feed our families. We often think that's the primary purpose. Of course it is, to give, to supply the church with worship and preaching and things like that. But here's another thing that we often forget, that we work that we may have in order to give to him that needeth. When Jesus had before him the 4,000 or the 5,000, and the disciples wrongly wanted them to be sent away, those thousands of people plus the women and children, they wanted them to send them away so they could go get food in the town away from Jesus, sending them away. They could help themselves. Someone else can help them, do something. And Jesus asked them, what kind of food do we have? And the disciples told him, and he fed them. He didn't send them away. He fed them. Give to those in need. The second point this evening, look above the sun. Look above the sun. Verses 7 and 8. It says, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. First, to behold the sun, he says, verse 7, speaking of this present life, because of verse 8, we know that it gives us that context. Verse 7 is speaking of those pleasures and comforts that tend to make life easier, agreeable. Look upon the sun. It's warm. It beautifies. It blesses. It even fertilizes. The light of the sun, our present earthly comfort, is sweet to those hearts which center here on the earth. He's saying you can have a great life filled with comforts and pleasures enjoying this earth. Life can be sweet. You can have a family. You can have kids. You can retire from your job. Enjoy retirement and comfort and live a good life. Verse 8. And if a man lives for many years and rejoices in them all, you can have a great life. Let him now remember the days of darkness. Remember now the days of darkness in the future, for they shall be many. You have a good life, but the days of darkness are many. This life can be sweet, but it is short. It's just a vapor compared to an eternity in darkness. And so remember now what awaits those who merely look and behold the sun. As we go outside, not today, but on other days, we go outside, we look, and we behold the sun. We look upon this earth. You only look upon this creation. Let that not be you, because death comes, and after that the judgment. Psalm 88, shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, or thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? Children, that moment of death, is it? And if you have only or merely looked upon the earth, looked to the sun as you're on the earth, and you've gained some pleasure, some sweetness of it in this life, you think, oh, that's a great sunset, that's a great sunrise, right? You're looking at the sun, it's a great thing. You've gained some pleasure, some sweetness in this life, then your eternity is darkness, if that's all you've done. If you've only enjoyed the things of this earth. Because all that cometh is vanity, he says. This we've heard before, looking under the sun, looking upon the sun. Same thing, as sweet and good as that sun is, vanity of vanities. We're all called today to remember. Now look above the sun. As we've heard so many times throughout Ecclesiastes, look above the sun to the Lord and glory to Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, from these vanities which alone thrust us down in the darkness. These vanities do. Look above the sun for life eternal. For light. We heard that in Luke's Gospel. For light. We find light there. It says look above the sun. Instead of looking and beholding the sun, S-U-N, behold the face of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look to Him. In verse 9, He says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. This is what children are like. Young men and young women are like. In your youth, oftentimes you want to do only that which makes your heart full of joy and pleasure and makes your heart cheer. To do only what your heart and what you see with your eyes, what your eyes seem to think is good, what your eyes seem to think are enjoyable. everything that is pleasurable and enjoyable, everything that's pleasurable and enjoyable and entertaining, that's what youth love. That's what youth and children pursue. And in that pursuit, you are stubborn in your intentions, regardless of the consequences oftentimes and effects on what might happen. Sometimes you even think, I can do whatever I want and I won't get hurt. I can do whatever I want and I don't care about the effects of what I'm doing. I just want to do this because it's pleasurable to me. It's enjoyable for me. It gives me joy. And therefore I do it. Solomon is saying, rejoice in that. Children, Solomon is sort of being sarcastic because he says, know this. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. All those entertaining things, all those pleasures that you love to do, rejoice in that. He's being sarcastic. And he says, but know thou, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. You do what you want, what pleases you, but you will be judged for your works, what you do. There are some pleasures and joyful things we take part in this life. They're good things. There are a lot of things you get to have fun doing in this life, things that are good. Solomon isn't saying don't do that. He's saying do not make those entertainments and those joys and those pleasures your idol, your first thing, the all-important thing of your life. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Don't be of the world that's under the sun living, and that leads to destruction. For all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. 2 Peter 2 says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. They didn't count the cost. Children and youth, you are to count the cost of what life filled with all pleasures and entertainments and vanity costs. And so now here is where Solomon is serious. There's no sarcasm. There's no irony. He says, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remove sorrow. The word is like anger. Remove your indignation, your passions, all those youthful, childlike passions. Remove them. Children, you are quick to anger. The Lord says, James 1, know this. My beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Remove it from you. Put it away, evil from your flesh. Romans 6, he says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. And in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never, he says. 2 Corinthians 7, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Remove and put away all evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Childhood ends quickly. That's what he's saying. The time of youth ends quickly and all those pleasures. But if you train yourself in your childhood and you train yourself in your youth, parents, you need to listen to this in your disciple making. If this is how you train, or if this is how you train yourself, children and youth, then this is what you're going to be like in adulthood. It begins now. And you need to turn from those fleshly ways and turn to the Lord. Because those fleshly ways and acting like the child, typical child and the typical youth, going after pleasures all the time, that is vanity. It only ends in, you already know the answer if you've been here, it only ends in death and judgment. You will die, you will be buried in the grave, and you will be judged for all eternity and darkness. Remember the darkness that awaits. And so childhood ends quickly. A time of youth ends quickly too. All those pleasures, they go away. Youth, just a quick gust of wind here and gone. And so spend it, beloved, turning from the idols of pleasure and entertainments and put on wisdom. He's saying here, look above the sun. Look to the Lord. Children, look to the Lord. Youth, look to the Lord. Securing not the pleasure that lasts for a moment. And that moment you know because you have that tugging in your heart. Ooh, I love that. And then you're like, oh, I missed that. It's just for a moment. And then it's gone. Well, Jesus, and please, and pleasure in Jesus, enjoying the Lord, never fades away. Those pleasures with the Lord do not vanish. And so now today, put off the vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Put them off. Look above the sun. You do not want days and days of eternity of darkness. You want and you will want the blessing of the Lord forever. And so turn now to the Lord, looking above the sun, to Him alone, and Jesus Christ for your life and your death. The one who believes, the Christian, the one who believes in Jesus, who's saved by Jesus, who's in union with Jesus Christ, you will be those who give to those in need. Do you give to those in need? Or are you one who, more like to question? Are you likely to question and object? The Lord says, the Lord who keeps His promises and does not lie, He says, He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which He hath given will He pay him again. And Jesus says what? Remember the least of these. Remember the least of these. Because if you remember the least of these, you remember Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise. We're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful that You grant to us wisdom, discernment, but only as we look above the sun, as we see it in Your Word, hear it in Your Word, and by Your Holy Spirit, guide us by Your grace and mercy. Father, we ask and ask for Your help to look above the sun. We can't do it of ourselves. We love the earth too much. We love the vanities of this world too much. The pleasures, the entertainments, the enjoyments, way too much. We idolize them. And so, Father, turn us in our hearts to above the sun. Cause us in our desires to love looking to Jesus and His Word. Help us in our emotions to be truly satisfied in Him and not the vanities of this world. And as we trust You and love You and worship You and serve You, help us to consider those who are in need. When You give us opportunity, may we not question or object against You. You've commanded, cast thy bread unto the waters. And so, Father, help us to do so, knowing we will get it back even as we help those in need. And even if we don't receive it back in this life, as You definitely will provide each step of our lives for us, and You will provide for our needs. Father, we know that You will repay us with an infinite inheritance and glory. And so we put our hope in You, in Your promises. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.